Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler, won't say it twice cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, it's Real Spoilers, episode 777, which is why this week's theme song was performed by Striper.
Oh, a Christian rock band.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Numbers of Our Lord.
I was just going to put the slot machine sounds on with like...
Self-Reliant K. So, there we go.
That's good.
I missed that one. Oh, it's just because of the band name?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was like a contextual tie.
No.
Like,
no.
Got it.
No.
You sure don't put that much effort into it.
No. I got to come up with an outro every week.
Yeah. And an intro, which you've recently started. So,
yeah.
Good luck.
So
I was going to call it the most boring game.
Oh, yeah. No way.
I
I think this is really half-baked. Good premise.
Good premise squandered.
Nothing happens.
Good premise squandered.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
so,
we'll get into it. But
let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you can
Spreaker.
Find us. Spreaker.
Apparently Kevin's still in stocking.
The Zune store. You can also, while you're there, be sure and follow us. You never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. Super helpful. Greatly appreciated. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you'll share an episode. So people who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Librarian Cynthia, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Chris Falls, Gabriel Lugo, Matt Gonzalez, Ralph Tribble, Tom Dowdy, Chris Magic Man, Jason McLean, Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Phil Timon, Taylor Ward, Brent Smith, Heather Sachs, The Kryptonian Orphan, Ryan Terry, David Rojas, Spoiler Piece Theater, Braid 1991, Geek to Me Radio, Dissect That Film, Binge Movies, The Film Bee, Nostalgia Cast, Colby Mack, In Session Film, and Feelin' Film. So thank you very much. We really appreciate you sharing an episode. And you can also find us on YouTube at youtube.com/ampersand/blah blah blah real spoilers. And don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/real spoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content, and you know that we secretly like you more.
Mm-hmm.
But not secretly.
That's true. Yeah, it's no secret.
No, it's not a secret.
So there's all that. Let's dig in.
We had talked a few weeks ago about the low budget comedies.
Yeah.
And how that Hollywood just will not put any, they won't do them.
Right.
They won't do a low budget, you know, a mid tier adult drama. They won't do like this low budget, not low
I'd
budget,
say it's
but
the
like
mid budget films.
Yeah, mid budget.
Disappeared.
Yeah.
It's either, you know, you've got this thing that's made for a song and a dance, or
right.
you've got the big blockbuster.
A $200 million
and,
movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And these,
you
like.
You can't get like a $60 million movie.
You can't get like, yeah. It's, a, yeah. you know, and.
Blumhouse is really the only one that's doing it.
I think
A24
does it, right?
But even Blumhouse is more in the, you know, a lot of theirs are in that 5 to 10 range.
Yeah.
I mean, the only time they get above 10 seems to be like if it's like an IP that they have a license, like Halloween
or
creeped up to like 20.
I think one of the Paranormal Activities had a high budget and then that flopped, like not and flopped, but.
But then it underperformed and they were like, oh, maybe we can graduate to more expensive budgeted movies. And then it to bed and they were like, you know we're going to stick with what dance with the one who brung you.
That's right.
That,
we're going to go to Malignant.
Yeah.
They've really figured that thing out. I mean, I don't know what Night Swim ended up at, but just the fact that it opened to the $12 million-ish dollar range when, I mean, it had no right to, it's not good, but like people are like horror and James Wan and
but
Blumhouse,
that's the thing is like horror, you can do that. Right? Like, you're going to have your built-in audience no matter what. You don't need a $200 million budget unless you're something like It, which I think had a fair... Not $200 million, but I think it was...
But yeah, that was a very expensive...
Yeah.
But that was Warner Brothers. It's top-tier movie. And they were trying to pull in non-horror fans.
Correct.
Right? Like, the target on that movie was not just horror fans. They
Fair,
were
yes.
trying to make a prestige horror movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of horror movies that come out that do not make $12 million or don't even get a theatrical release. What I mean is Blumhouse and James Wan, and now their powers combined, just they have created this brand that is synonymous with go to the theater and see it. No matter, just like A24.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if A24 makes a movie, I'm excited. And even though their movies could be all sorts of different movies, and they're picking them up rather than really producing them, you know, like they're
but they're just, like curating
A24 has a vibe, right? A24 vibes, and they've done the same thing for horror, because it's like, right, Night Swim comes out and it's not a good movie, but geez, you can make $12 million opening weekend by putting that thing out.
That's and that's the brand and the clout that those two guys have built off their name. And
They better watch it. Don't keep releasing
Night Swims.
That's
true.
That's the
true.
Thing that they got to be
careful
about.
You can get away with like a couple Night Swims as long as you have like, you know, a Conjuring in there every once in a while. And I do think that like this movie falls into that mid to low budget dramedy. And I thought this was very funny. I like Jack Johnson a lot.
Do you like Jake Johnson
at all, though?
That's what I meant to say.
Okay.
I don't like Jack Johnson.
Is that banana pancakes or whatever?
That's
bubbly toast?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Isn't that called banana pancakes?
He's the surfer acoustic
guitar.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
No? Oh,
no. Okay. I think he is very funny. I think Nick Miller is a great character. I think
so. I get it, right?
But like,
Nick Miller's very funny.
I like him as Peter Parker.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I like Jake Johnson.
Let's Be Cops was an underrated comedy.
I feel like we're at 3 points in the spectrum on this movie. Like, you really hated it. I was like, meh on it.
I didn't really
hate
is
maybe
it,
strong, but
the potential. It's because there are other movies. The whole playing a game, you know, and things that are based on The Most Dangerous Game, and then The Game. I mean, The Game is a much better version of this.
Yeah, but it's a different version.
But it's still very similar, and it's exciting, and there's twists and turns. And I think that he had something he wanted to say about loneliness and being around people and all this, but I don't think this film is very effective at it. I think that it's like he's got this idea, and the premise is exciting and could be very fun.
Because I saw the trailer for this, and I was just like, oh, that looks really good.
This is going to be all right. Then it's like day one, he does nothing. Day two, he does nothing.
And even the movie starts skipping days. It's like day three, and then it was like day 16.
He does nothing. And it's like, well, so look at a movie like The Game, right? And it's like he's off to the right. He's playing a game. Then he thinks he's not in the game. And then all of a sudden stuff starts picking up, and he's on the run. And that movie never stops. It's exciting.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's a straight-up thriller.
Yeah, and it's David Fincher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who...
Sure.
That's not his first one. No.
No.
He's coming off Seven, right?
But when you have...
Yeah, he does Seven, then...
Then The Game?
Then The Game, and then Panic Room? Is that the order?
It's very early in his career.
Yeah.
But my point is, though, that when you are thrown into a game of life and death stakes, and then nothing happens, I just mean there's movies that take the idea of you're playing this game, it's a high-stakes game, and then something's going to happen. Because I start to pick apart the rules of this game and who's playing, and
so
why would they play this game?
So the premise, for people who haven't seen it, is that he's pulled into this game that's being aired on the dark web.
Right.
It's like a reality show. And that he has 30 days. People are trying to kill him. And if he lives 30 days, then he gets $1 million.
Oh, people are trying to kill him?
Allegedly.
Okay, thank you.
And
gotta put that asterisk on.
And there's a loophole in the game where they can only kill you when you're alone because they don't want to hurt anyone who's not part of the game. Which then makes the storyline of this movie completely fall apart because when he meets Anna Kendrick...
I agree. And the only thing that saves it is the fact that she's not playing the game.
You find out at the end, but he should have said that.
That's what I mean. The story falls apart because they never address it. What should have happened is when they find out, he goes, oh, that's why they're not tracking us. That wouldn't have worked, but you're like...
Right.
It's just they never make a plot point out because the whole time I'm watching, I go, me and Katie watch this, we're like, well, this is stupid. It's if two people are playing the game, they're not innocent.
Right.
That wouldn't make any sense.
That would just be a double kill.
And then what I thought was, oh, she's in on it.
Well, that's,
and she's
so
messing
that's
with him
that's
for the
where
show.
That's where I thought we were going to end up, is that's why... So that when they... So basically, I always call him Nick Miller.
I know it's difficult to remember. His name is Tom. Normally, I'm a fan of any movie where Anna Kendrick falls in love with
a guy named Tom.
Falls in love with a guy named Tom.
I don't blame you.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
at all.
Yeah,
but this movie starts off with, I mean,
he's a loser.
Yeah, well, he just has nothing going for him, and so when a limo pulls up in a very weird manner, and Andy Samberg rolls down the window with his name on a piece of paper and says, "Is this you?" and he gets in, I'm like, I'm on board. This is weird.
Yeah.
But tonally, it's like, but then the rest of the movie isn't really weird.
Yeah, because, well, like, also.
It is kind of weird.
It's
when
not that
he
weird.
Goes back to talk to his girlfriend. I know we're doing this all way out of order, sure. But when he goes back to talk to his girlfriend and she's like, you didn't do anything. You weren't fun. And it's just like, well, then what did he say yes to the limo thing for? Right? Like, that's not who this guy is.
I took that as, you know,
he's trying to push himself out of his comfort zone. But like then I feel like we needed more setup. For me, the bigger problem I had with this movie is I felt like it either needed to be darker or lighter.
I could see that.
As the movie's progressing, you start to, it starts to drop hints that this isn't a real thing.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought he had a mental break.
Yeah, that he's having some sort of psychotic break. And I was like, well, that would be a fun twist that no one was ever after him.
Right.
And that it, you know.
But that's what they hint at. The red herring of it all kind of thing is everyone telling him, you're okay, buddy. You know, your dream
is. His family doesn't believe him.
And I never believed that was happening. I truly didn't. I don't think as the audience you're supposed to think that. But I think that could have been the twist reveal. It's wow, he is. And they're all trying to help him or something. And much like, I mean, I don't want to spoil the game. Go watch 1997's The Game if you want to watch a really good movie where things aren't exactly as they seem. But so I'm thinking, okay, they're all trying to help him and they're in on it or something, but the story's so simplistic that it doesn't ever reveal anything. It doesn't really ever do anything, and the stakes feel so low for a man being hunted.
Yeah,
but I mean, they go 15 days and it's like, so it starts, I ask, well, what's the point of this game? So somehow they're getting $1 million. The people on the dark web are paying a lot of money and they're betting, doing whatever they want. Who would be watching this boring-ass show?
Well, they say, yeah. I mean, I think...
But who? Who would be paying to watch this?
What we were just talking
this?
About is reality TV keeps you engaged because you get to a point where you start caring about the characters, right? I think Teen Mom is a perfect example of how a premise of a TV show is stupid. That show is trash. But...
I've watched every episode of every season.
Yeah. But by episode 3, you're invested in Macy. You're invested in Farrah. And I think that's where...
No, you just want to see Farrah get her comeuppance.
You're invested in that.
Farrah is an awful
person.
Human being.
She's awful, yeah.
She's
awful
the
people.
Backdoor teen mom.
Yes, that's backdoor teen mom. Which is not how you become a... You can't become a teen
mom.
No,
that's not how that works.
Via the back door. Not via the back
door. That's
so
true, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But my point is... What I think they should have done, and they started to do, but then got rid of it, is they started to get people invested in Anna Kendrick and Jake. Those characters, mm-hmm. right?
Nick.
What?
Nick, right?
Yeah, Nick. Yeah. No, Tom. His name is
Nick.
His name is Tom.
I'm so confused.
This
movie will erase itself from my mind when I leave this room.
But so they even say that. The guy from Stranger Things shows up, and he was like, they really like you. you know, he's whispering like
who
as the
people
producer.
Are upset. He wasn't asked back for the last
which
season.
Which is ridiculous because he's great.
I know.
In
and apparently
four.
He was great. I didn't watch that season yet.
What?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's
but,
so good.
But he's like, yeah, they haven't asked me back.
It's straight up Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah. He's great in that show. Yeah. I thought they were going to do is this was going to become a rom-com where these two people have never met and then they have to stay together and then, you know, they're going to. And they started to. Like, they start to. They're attracted to each other.
They've got good chemistry.
They've got good chemistry.
I liked their.
And then she's gone.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought, okay, you know, typical rom-com where your two love interests are into each other, but then he says the wrong thing or does something weird and that all happens and she leaves and then they realize they have to get back together and figure this thing out. When she leaves, she leaves.
It's like, just like she's not there the rest of the movie. Yeah.
And then, and the end of the movie is him, spoilers, winning the game, but then going to Anna Kendrick's house and going to knock on the door to, you know, reintroduce himself or rekindle this relationship.
But, okay, so he has to survive 30 days while being asterisk hunted.
Yeah.
And if he does, he gets $1 million.
Right.
So over the 30 days, and I mean like the first 14 days is nothing happens. And I felt like I was watching Groundhog Day. But when you're watching Groundhog Day, it's interesting and funny because
right.
The guy's living the same life.
Yeah.
And this one, it's like, do the treadmill, go to the same bar. I mean, we get it. It's a mundane life, but it's not interesting to watch. And also, this guy is being hunted for his life. The only thing that changes is he's kind of looking over his shoulder.
Right.
And then 2 weeks go by and he's like, oh, nothing's really happening. Which then makes me feel like, well, this is so dumb. Now, they could have went a million different ways. One way they could do is that these people are messing with him and they're in the background and the people watching it are in this sick, twisted way, putting something together that's revealed later. And you're like, oh my gosh, they weren't just doing nothing, but they literally were doing nothing.
Yeah.
And we get like three different points of tension. There's one tension is that he goes to the funniest part of the movie with when he's at
great.
The brother-in-law's house and,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He's like, yeah, you can hang out with me and then he's like, all right, when are we going to bed?
He's like, you're like, not sleeping with me.
He's like, I'm not sleeping, whatever. And then he cuts to him, they're in bed together, and then he wakes up in the middle of the night and the brother's gone, and so he's like, oh crap. And he looks out the window and there's a creepy guy. It reminds me of Seven Psychopaths.
Oh, sure.
When the guy's outside, you know, seen it in different movies, but you know, it's really creepy. It's like, okay, this could be interesting. And so he has to bust into the bathroom, and the guy's taking a dump, and he's like, why did you leave me? He's like, I'm going to the bathroom. Like, I'm not going to take you in here with me. And he picks him up off the toilet because the guy is like pointing a rifle through the window at him, and he's like holding the guy up while he's taking his pants down. It's funny. It's just a funny situation.
I think the other part of that I like is that this is his brother-in-law, mm-hmm. and his sister's just like, you picked him up off the toilet. And he was like, yeah, really sorry about that. Wasn't a big fan of that, but I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah. So that's funny. And then you get a couple other things, I guess, like so he's followed around by a crew of ninjas, he calls them, because they're these, I mean, it's essentially a way to be like, well, how are they filming this without cameras? Like, this is a low-budget
movie.
Well,
he keeps finding cameras, remember? He keeps
I know, but what I'm saying is this is a low-budget filmmaking thing. Of
sure,
like,
sure.
How are people watching this 24/7? Oh, they've got micro cameras planted everywhere that
which
you can't
honestly
see.
Feeds into the psychotic break aspect
yeah.
of,
uh-huh.
like, these little micro cameras are
just
dropping.
Like, it could be like a tiny rock.
This is a rat rat dropping or whatever. Like, I like that idea because the more you watch it and you're like, there has to be something more to this. You know, I was waiting for a bigger reveal or some
sure.
kind of twist. So you get, you know, like the creepy guy from Stranger Things 4 or whatever.
He's also in Booksmart.
Oh, Booksmart.
Oh,
maybe that's where I knew
him from. Sure.
He comes out of the shadows.
He plays Argyle. I think that's his name in Stranger Things.
Okay. Yeah. And you think like, I mean, it was kind of creepy. You're like, who is this? Is this going to be one of the guys? I thought finally someone was going to come try to kill him and they get into something. No. And he's like, we're really rooting for you. We like you. And they're trying to help him.
Why is he whispering?
Yeah. So I guess so he doesn't wake up whoever.
But there's cameras everywhere.
Like, I guess that's true.
He's always whispering like he doesn't want to get caught. But
yeah.
like he's going to get
it's
caught.
Cameras.
He's on camera. There's cameras everywhere.
And
unless
yeah,
you turn them off.
But if you're part of the ninjas that are running for this dark web, that their whole thing is they don't want to pay $1 million. They want to hunt this guy.
No. These guys are production assistants.
They're like worker bees. They're hired. They're the hired help.
Okay.
No, I'm saying the dark web doesn't. I mean, they don't want to pay $1 million. The whole point of this is to watch it for entertainment for these rich guys or whatever, and no one wants to pay them $1 million. They want to
die.
Mess with them for 30 days, good entertainment, kill them, and don't pay them $1 million. So what I mean is if the workers are helping out, so that he could maybe win the $1 million. I mean, it's just like they would be in trouble. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
They should not be able to do this. They could help him because they like him and they want better show. But at the end of the day, if they're not leading him toward
Say that, like, we like you guys, the people like you guys together.
Yeah.
When he finally hooks up with Anna Kendrick, like when they're running around or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they are definitely like influencing the show in him.
Yeah, it
like,
just doesn't make
like
sense.
Telling him you got to go or you need to leave.
The whole point of the show is to watch people hunting this guy,
right?
And if they're helping them not get caught by the hunters, that directly opposes.
Well, I took it as like basically it's like workers who don't like where they work,
right? And then they would sabotage. Be killed by the dark web mastermind. Yeah. They can't do that. If they're on a 24-hour, I don't know. I didn't like it. It didn't make sense to me. And I just wanted there to be some kind of a grander reveal to all this, or that they were really messing with him, or it was all a game that he didn't know he was a part of, not a death game, but. It was all his family put him through it so he could learn something, you know? And I guess I've seen better versions of this where it does play out in a similar way.
You keep saying that, and I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But you have to look at the filmmaker behind the movie.
Sure.
So this is Jake Johnson's first movie that I think so, right?
He's written like six things.
Okay. But did he do Safety Not Guaranteed, or is that Mark Duplass?
He's in it.
Okay. That's a great movie.
Yes.
But he didn't write that movie.
No, that's fair. He was an actor. I mean, that's whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was just trying to think, the Duplass brothers, did they do that?
No, Mark Duplass is in it, but I don't think...
Okay.
I don't think
he's another one that is a weird, has made some weird movies.
I love Mark Duplass' stuff. He's great.
Also on The League, which is very funny.
And I'll tell you what, The League is one of my favorite shows. Don't watch sports. Don't care about sports. That show is so great.
That show's not about sports.
Right.
It's about the people.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what's so amazing about
it. Oh, I see.
But you can't say it's not about sports. It's a show called The League about a fantasy football.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
But
these days it's not. It doesn't. Like, you're not really watching it for sports stuff.
Yeah, it's not like you're watching Friday Night Lights.
Right. That's what I just said, because I like it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if it were about sports, I wouldn't. But
is that still going?
No. It ended a long time ago. Okay. But that's what's so great. And so, I love him on that. But you're
comparing The Game, which is written and directed by, in my opinion, like one of my favorite directors of all time,
mm-hmm.
compared to a low-budget comedy by a first-time director, right? That's like putting a guy in single-A baseball, be like, hey, you're going to bat against, you know, Shohei Ohtani. Does that mean anything to anybody else?
No, I have no idea what you just said.
It's a major league pitcher.
I thought maybe you had a stroke.
But there are a lot of first-time directors that knock it out of the park, and with a stronger script and a more interesting story, this could have been something. And I'm not going to give it a pass.
And he wrote it, too. So
yeah, no, that's fair. Like,
and he's written, and he's been around television and films for a long time. You know, he's been in big blockbuster movies. He's been in small stuff. He's been in TV shows.
Oh, he was in The Mummy.
Mummy, yeah.
Right.
So I can't give it a pass. I like him a lot. I think he's very funny. I like him. But I can't give this movie a pass because I've seen other movies. Game Night, you know?
Yeah.
The Game.
Okay.
Game Night. There's lots of movies about games that go beyond a regular game and life and death circumstances. And this is just feels like kind of the worst parts of a lot of really good movies, and I don't know, it just seemed kind of pointless in the end. I wish it went somewhere different. I wish there were a twist. I wish there were more exciting. I wish it were darker and weirder. It just kind of meandered, and
yeah.
I think it's a wasted premise.
I just feel like I'm willing to maybe not go all, you know, go all in and be like, this movie's bad and yada, you know. I feel like he has built, like, it's kind of like James Wan, enough clout with me where it's like, I'll give you a shot, man. And I thought there was, I laughed, you know, I think it, for me, it is rare that I laugh at a movie when I'm by myself,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I think things are funny, but it's like to laugh out loud at something when I'm sitting by myself doesn't usually happen. This one, there were scenes that made me, the Mario scene, I got a kick out of.
Yeah.
I thought that was a lot of fun where, like, so there, Anna Kendrick and Jake Johnson.
His name's Tom.
Yeah,
the character
right.
is Tom.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember.
They're in this. They're finally, you know, they're in this hotel, and this guy walks in, and he's this giant man, but he's dressed like Mario. And just the whole idea where he's like, I'm the manager, I'm the maintenance guy. He's like, which one are you? And why are you dressed like Mario? And they just, they have this back and forth. I think what I do like is the, it is really hard to get that chemistry right, especially from a writing, from a script premise, where the Anna Kendrick and Jack Johnson have to, Jake Johnson, have to, have to do this back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, it's kind of like Moonlighting. We've talked about it, where it's like they're talking over each other.
Yeah.
And I,
you can have good scenes in bad movies.
No, no, no. You know, but that's what I'm saying, the, is like, there are, to me, there's enough here that kept me like entertained.
I think there's a few little, what do you call them? Not skits, but there's a few little moments. There's a few little scenes. It's not the word I'm looking for, but there are good scenes in this movie, right? I think Biff Whiff, who plays the homeless man that he calls James.
Is that what he calls Walter?
I thought he's great. Basically what happens is once he signs up for the game, he gets his family together and he says, this is what I'm doing. And they all look at him like, you're crazy. This is nuts. And he sounds crazy, right?
Right.
And he's like, no, you have to stay with me 24/7. And they're all like, no. He's moved home with his mom since he broke up with his girlfriend of 20 years. The mom works overnights at a hospital, you know, and she's like, no, you can't come see me at work. And his two sisters are like, no. And then that's why he eventually ends up at the sister and brother-in-law's house. But once after the brother-in-law kicks him out, he goes and finds James?
As soon as he kicks him out, he sees this guy, like, rummaging through the garbage.
Yeah, okay.
He's like, just watch me until I get to that guy. And he's like, okay.
Which I thought that was going to be a hunter in disguise.
Right.
Like, I'm waiting for this movie to pick up into the hunters coming to find him. And I know they kind of do that thing in the beginning where they set it up where you may never even see anyone. They might even come to see you, which is just like a womp.
But then,
womp.
Like, the big tall guy finds him in an alley, but then he's just like, strangling him. Like, if you're a hunter, why wouldn't you have a gun?
I guess that's true. That guy's in The Greatest Showman. He's the tall guy in The Greatest Showman.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just kept waiting for more exciting things to happen. And you don't have to be the game. You don't have to be David Fincher. But if you're writing a movie about people hunting you, you could write about a little bit more excitement to keep the thing going, I think. I think it could be a little more interesting. And I think this was just really low budget. It's shot on a few locations. They go to that bar 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, again, it felt like Groundhog Day, but you're not, you know, it's not Groundhog Day. That's not, there's no fun in that. I mean, yeah, we get that it's mundane, but, you know, this movie's feeling mundane. It just does nothing for 2/3 of the movie. And so anyway, but the James part, so played by Biff Whiff, he's hilarious, and I like that they don't really make him the butt of the joke. Like, the family is like, what is this guy? You can't have a guy that we don't know living in our house. And
right, this homeless guy.
Yeah, they ultimately kick him out, but it's not mean-spirited. Like Tom, the character, is not being mean to him or not being like, well, this guy is expect. Like, I don't care, he's just homeless. Like, what I like is that it's actually really nice the way that he treats him like a friend, right?
Right.
I mean, maybe he should give him a change of clothes and a shower. I do think that might have been a little nicer, but
maybe don't take him drinking since he probably has addiction issues.
Yeah. Probably a safe bet.
Yeah.
But they kind of become friends, and he treats him like a human being. And yes, of course, it's a little selfish. I mean, he's using him to protect himself, but he's, again, not mean, and he's not like treating James like he's expendable and all that. So I liked their interaction. I thought James was a really fun character. I just think he was funny and had a good personality.
I do like the scene where they go to Anna Kendrick's mom's house and they're eating lunch or whatever, and he was like, you know, James is like, this is really good. What is this? She just goes, spaghetti.
I thought it was funny. Do you see how he's eating the spaghetti? Yes. It's like hanging out of his mouth. He just grabs it by the end and pulls it off. Like
vignettes. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
There's fun little moments. The toilet moment, a lot of the stuff surrounding James, the mom is really funny. But so come to find out, he puts this thing on Craigslist or not Craigslist, whatever, that he's like, he says, I was cryptic, you know, but you know, if you're playing
this
game.
Does Craigslist still exist?
I know. I had the same thought. I'm like, Craigslist? Is that still a thing?
I think it does, but I don't think anyone uses it. I think Craigslist is kind of the dark web, you know? I do think that it's like,
I think once they got rid of the casual back pages. Yeah, casual encounters that, you know, it was like, boop, gone.
That's what I remember.
It was like when Tumblr banned porn. It's like, well, you just killed your app.
Right.
That was all anybody was on your app for. Yeah.
So it's funny that Craigslist, like, killed newspapers.
Sure.
Right. Because they made so much money off of the classifieds. Right,
right, right, right.
And then Facebook Marketplace killed Craigslist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's tech companies for you. Yeah. You know?
Just anything they can do to cut out the other guy.
So he puts that out there, this cryptic message, and he gets a message back. And then, you know, you see this phone call and it cuts to this woman, you know, and obviously here it's Anna Kendrick. But the way that she has kind of like this creepy workshop thing makes you think.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
So I do like when they alluded to things like that. But then you find out, oh, she has an Etsy shop and she just makes weird little puppy dog designs and stuff.
Craigslist is still around.
Okay.
And you'll be comforted to know not one thing has changed about it.
It looks the exact same.
Like it, nothing has changed.
That was the beauty of it, right? Like it was simple. You weren't getting bogged down by a bunch of layout changes and complexities. Sure. So they meet up and she says, yes, I'm also a part of this game, right? And then they come out with this bright idea, which is very dumb if they really were both in the game again, because then you're watching the whole time going,
well, I also think
that's not how it works.
I think that he is so, well, you know, he doesn't really have any relationships at all with anyone, right? Like he dated this gal for forever and
23 years.
And I do like that when we get to that with her and she's like, yeah, I wanted all of those things with you. Like I was with you. But you refused to change. Like you became complacent and we went to the same restaurants. You sat in the same chair. Like you did. She's like, and I have done a lot of work on myself. So it's like it's not like she cheated or, you know, was just being mean. So I do also kind of like that. You know, I think when you do things to break a couple up just to do things, whether it's, you know, sleeping with somebody else or any manufactured thing, I'm just like, oh, it's kind of lame. But when you hit them with like, you didn't grow up, like I wanted those things with you, but you couldn't do it. Like I was like, oh, well, at least it's reflecting real life. Yeah. You know, like
I didn't have any problem with those parts at all. I think my biggest problem is this is a movie about a guy being hunted that really isn't getting hunted.
I can understand.
Go one way or the other. Explain it by this was all a ruse. We were just trying to make you sweat, and we put you through all these crazy situations. But the situations are like weeks in the movie apart.
Yeah,
you know, 10 days, one minor thing happens and you never hear about it again. So I like what they were trying to do. Again, the premise is good, and I like what it's trying to say about being with people and maybe putting yourself out there and, you know, just trying to do a little bit more stuff. I think the problem is, you know, wrapping it in this package of you're being hunted,
right,
but not seeing the hunting and then not really explaining why.
I can see. You know what I mean? It's maybe just adding the problem is when you do that and you get the reveal that Anna Kendrick is not part of the game, you are putting her in a bunch of situations where she would, you know, what we find out is that,
well, they're safe as long as they're together. That's the great thing. If they explained it or if they used it as a plot point,
but they aren't though, because Mario breaks into their hotel room.
He's not a part of the game.
Yes, he is.
He was?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he was really the landlord.
Because they say later, they're like, you know, these people, the people
they used him to prove that, like, they were the part of the comedy of the show is that they're picking things from his life to kill him.
Gotcha. So playing video games with his dad.
Video games with his dad. Okay.
I missed
Westerns,
that connection.
Okay. Ellen DeGeneres.
I saw those parts as they played. I missed the Mario. Okay.
So my point is.
But they were safe because when they were, he didn't kill them because they were together.
He didn't kill them.
Yeah.
But this man also did break into their. So if you keep putting her into these situations and they do this where she's just like, you know, this is. It wasn't until they met the third person who was actually in the game, I think.
Well, she didn't believe it was real. Well, I like the way that it happens is that so they're together and they go through the break-in thing in the hotel and all that, and then he gets a message from someone else.
But what they do here in that time frame is they start to build this relationship between these two. And for me at least, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of into this. Like, I like them being kind of goofy together, and they're both kind of weird, but, you know, and they have good chemistry on screen, like we've talked about. So, like, I was like, okay, like, I am into building this relationship.
Sure.
And then he gets another message, and things are going really well. And it's, I mean, there's a,
well, they're just hiding out because they're safe together.
You can assume that they've been sleeping together, because there's a scene where they're both laying on a bed and she's kind of like laying on his chest and he's got his arm around her. So like, this has progressed into something.
I don't think they were. I think they were getting close, and they were, like, he did have his hand around her, but I don't know.
I feel like if they had officially become romantic, that would not have been cryptic.
It would have been a bigger plot point.
Oh, I see.
You know, like, they would have made that more clear.
Yeah.
They're okay. Certainly becoming close.
Yeah.
And that's, I could definitely see it becoming romantic, or it was trending that way. But
yeah.
I think if they had, you know, we'd have seen a kiss or something.
That's fair.
Right.
That's fair.
And then the breakup would have been harder, because if they were actually romantic, I think they were getting close. But the thing is, he gets another message from someone on Craigslist. And I like, in the story, this is a part that actually does make sense, where she's like, oh no, we're just having so much fun. And she later on thinks that this is kind of like a role play type thing.
Right.
So when a third person gets involved, she doesn't want to have a three-way. It gets to be too weird for her. Right. She thinks that this is all part of some sex role play relationship, you know, like people meeting people, activities.
Or Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
It was like this real life.
So I like that she was hesitant, and then that also plays into, well, if she's in on it and she's trying to mess with him and maybe kill him because she's a part of the game, but like is dragging it out. You know, I mean, if there was some ulterior motive,
right.
But we find out and it makes sense that she didn't want to involve a third person. But then when the third person comes up and it's so serious where he's like, dude, these people are not messing around. They will never let you go. They're following you.
Yeah.
You know, this dude lays out all this stuff, and then she's like, this is not some role play, you know, LARPing type,
right,
whatever.
Right.
And it scares her, which makes total sense. But they're safe. They are safe if they stay together. But, you know, now her leaving, you know.
But he's not alone. Well, I guess we find out that Walter is part of the game. Like, that's that the homeless guy has been a part of this game the entire time. And he kind of, like, I guess that the company put those two together so that there was some sort of relationship that, you know, that people would get invested in the dark web. And so
did they? I didn't get.
Yeah, because the scene, like, when they get to, when
they
get,
like,
to the,
I know
the
that they, like,
they took him away.
They took him away. Yeah. I don't remember them putting him.
Yeah, I don't
them
think
together.
They
I thought that they did, because when they're at the encampment, they have this moment where he's like, he's like, you know, my name's not James. And he was like, what? He's like, yeah, you just started calling me that. And I was
I think that was more just how clueless
But he gets into it, not gets into his face, but he starts whispering to him. He's like, look, they're going to try to get you to quit. Don't quit. And it's, they have this moment where.
Yeah, there was that whisper part. To me, I think that kind of, I just read that as he knows what's going on. And I think he was trying to, like, he wanted him to win the game too, but I did get that weird read. You're right. When he whispers to him, it's almost like a,
like you're,
oh,
almost,
I'm in on
you're
it.
Almost there. They're going to try to get you to quit. Don't quit. Like, keep going.
Yeah. I think that was just the choice. I think that was the choice the actor made, and it read as a different part of the script.
Sure.
But I was questioning that too.
No, I thought,
I don't think he was a plant. I really don't think so, but they do manipulate him. They take him away, 'cause he's like, well, this is boring, because now
he's in a hotel.
Just,
he's doing great.
Yeah, he's just riding it out. Right. And, you know, so they don't want him to win the game. And that's more of what I would have liked to have seen. The dark web people should have been manipulating and putting him into more dangerous situations. Every time they think he's safe, you know, they are pulling the strings and taking people away. Because at the very end, almost, they do that with James.
Yeah.
But then he just hangs out at the homeless encampment and he's around people all the time.
Well, and this is the scene where I was like, oh, he's off the rails, because
this is when I really start to think he's having a psychotic break, is when he's like, oh, if I hang around with homeless people and live in this encampment, there will be people always around me and they can't kill me. And I'm just like, okay, so like, he's become a crazy homeless person.
But he's also,
right?
like talking to people's like, I got 24 hours left. I got, you know, these people are hunting me.
And then also, so when his time is up and the limo shows back up with Andy Samberg.
It's not Andy Samberg.
And,
What?
It's Christopher Lloyd.
No.
Oh, that's like in the middle of the
movie. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm talking about at the very end when Andy Samberg shows up for the at the end of the homeless encampment section, and he's like, and he offers him the deal of like, we can end this now, and you'll get no money, but you'll be safe, or we can continue the game. And I just thought, well, this is how the psychotic break would work, right?
Sure.
Because it's like, if there's a time when it's up and you're having a psychotic break, well, then it can't be time-based anymore, right? Like, you know, it's not like, well, I'm only going to have a psychotic break for 30 days.
Yeah. Right.
And so I'm like, oh, so this is how it extends. He keeps taking and extending the deal. So he, you know, and
that's a good call.
Yeah. And so, so it's like, I was like, oh, this could get really dark. And I kind of wish it had.
Sure.
And that everything up to this had really kind of been either in his head or him interacting with people, but he hadn't gone full off the deep end yet. And so, like, he could still kind of have a foot in that world.
Well, they do kind of do that with the parents, with the mom and the sisters, mm-hmm. right? Where they have the intervention and he's just like, what are you talking? Like,
right.
You know, it's.
Yeah, no, and that would make that play a lot differently right. on a second viewing if it turned out
if it
like
was real that he was
that
having
he was
break.
Having some sort of
I know right. it, that's episode. The, it just seems like there should be more to it. The story is too simplistic because it's just straightforward. I mean, everything that you get is what you see. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like
right.
they here we're gonna play this game, and the game was real for some reason. There's no danger. He really is. He's not being played or really manipulated that much. He's playing the game. People think he's crazy. He's literally not. No one's like, Anna Kendrick isn't a plant. She's someone that just met him for fun. You know, James wasn't a plant. I don't think, you know, he just met him and used him to protect himself. And then he's in the homeless camp because that's all he's got left to be around people. And then it just kind of ends. And like the only real danger is right before he's running to the finish line.
Sure,
right?
Because
then there's danger. And it's like, right, where were these dudes for 30 days? You got the samurai. You've got the gunslinger, which was the Western, you know.
You've got the sumo wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there is a scene that we touched on. It is he's running from something. I don't remember what he was running from, but he sees a limo and he jumps into the limo. And or does the limo
No, that comes right out of his house.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And he rolls the window and you don't see who's inside the limo initially. And he looks, you know, he kind of looks in the window and he is kind of shocked and he gets in the car. And there's Christopher Lloyd.
See, I thought it was going to be Anna Kendrick because she had left at that point, and so I thought she was going to be in on it, or they were using her. Like, I like how they filmed it where you don't know until he gets in, but you see him like, you?
But I also thought, since Andy Samberg plays himself, and I was like, so they got Christopher Lloyd to play himself?
Oh. Right.
Like, I was like, all right, good. I like this celebrity. He's fun. But we find out, we do know that Tom has told us throughout the movie that his dad just kind of disappeared.
Left.
Yeah. Just left. They were playing video games one day and then he just disappeared. Well, now he's back. And this dark web, this game has found his dad and they have this conversation in the car and the dad's just kind of like, I like this scene too where he's like, wait, are you trying to have the dad talk with me right now? Like, I've been waiting for this talk my entire life. Like, now is not a good time to have this talk. And I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, I liked that scene. I liked it. And Christian was like, yeah, they just picked me up. And
I've been in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then I do like when and then they go
and
to
the intervention.
Interview. He's like, I talked to dad.
Like, right. Those little things played out in a funny way to where it does make you think he's crazy.
He's living in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And but I do like that his sisters are like, what? What are you talking about? So, yeah, and Anna Kendrick leaves, and he's back to kind of being on his own. And then I thought this was funny, too, is not Ellen DeGeneres.
Right.
Like, but are they supposed to be playing that it is actually her?
No, someone dressed up.
Like it's because the killers were dressing up like people. Things that he
right
yeah
he's and got they, pictures around his house and one thing was he and his girlfriend went to a taping of Ellen DeGeneres
and she was a big fan
it's one of their things
I do like where he's like that must have, and I like that moment between these two where they yes they have been broken up for a while she hasn't you know the ex-girlfriend has a baby and they make this joke about how Ellen DeGeneres gets canceled. And he, you know, they had this moment where they're both kind of laughing like that must have really sucked for you because you were a big fan. She's like, yeah, it did suck for me because I was a big fan, but it's not shocking. So he gets.
I will say in the Ellen scene, I struggled with like, are they supposed to really be telling us this is Ellen DeGeneres?
Right.
Because obviously they're not going to get her to play this role.
No.
Especially when they have jokes about
her getting canceled.
Yeah, her getting canceled. Yeah. And so I was just like. Is this supposed to be Ellen?
Because the gal does a pretty good impression.
She did.
Yeah.
And the other ones weren't doing full-on impressions, right? And so I was like, but then if you're doing that, then you shouldn't have Andy Samberg play Andy Samberg, right? Like, that, you know.
Or you find someone that maybe doesn't take themselves so seriously.
Yeah.
You know?
The Andy Samberg thing is weird because one thing that I would have loved is if the movie got weirder. And I do think that's very weird to have Andy Samberg pull up in a limo
as himself
and recruiting you for a dark web game. And he's totally Andy Samberg. So The Lonely Island is a producer on this movie.
Yeah.
So Andy Samberg's a producer. He stars in it. It's a way to say Andy Samberg's in the movie. He's in it for two scenes, but right. It's a way to say he's in the movie. It wasn't weird enough. You know what I mean? It was a strange choice because I get why they had him in there, but I just wish that it would have played out in a weirder way. And it kind of ended up to me kind of like, oh, you're a producer in this movie and you stars yourself. I don't know. I wish I would have used him better in the movie.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's not, it gets Tom into the game. Because he is just like, what the hell is going on? Like, yeah. Andy Samberg?
Yeah.
It's just a cameo that is what it is. And again, he's a producer on the movie, so it's like, I can get
it. It's also, from a story writing standpoint, it's a shortcut to get him to trust.
Do it because it's
Andy because Samberg, it's like, yeah. Oh, I like this guy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. He's like, I have
a parasocial relationship with him.
Yeah. That's right. Anna Kendrick is gone. Now he's got to continue this game with James, and he's so close to being to the end. He gets hit in the face by Ellen DeGeneres, who knocks a tooth out with an asp baton. And then he has to go to his parents. He has to go back to his mom's. We talked about the intervention where his face is all messed up and he's kind of ripe. And they run away from there. They go to the homeless encampment. And then he's going to win. Like, he's right there. Andy Samberg gives him the choice to keep going, and he's like, I'm going to keep going. And I do like that Andy Samberg is like, really? You're going to keep going?
See, one thing I did not like that they did, I'm glad you brought this up, is when the ninjas visit him that first time when Anna Kendrick, I think, is supposed to be in bed with him or something, or maybe it was at the brother's house. I can't remember exactly, but it's earlier on when they visit, and he's like, be careful. Like, danger is closer. No, it's got to be Anna Kendrick. Because I thought to myself, oh, she's in on it.
Or something.
They say something like, danger is closer than you think. And they said that very ominously, but then
nothing happens.
But then I don't feel like that ever really became a thing. Like, how was danger closer?
That's what I mean, because it's like just as dangerous as you would think. There's people kind of on the periphery, but you don't, you know. So I just wish that things like that would have played out.
What would have been fun if it's the mom? That was been like, if you want to go weird, like, the mom is in on the game, and she, you know,
yeah, I know. I just think there's so many ways you could have played this to where
I don't disagree that it could have been a little wackier or a little, you know, a little darker where he is having a psychotic break. And
if Game Night hadn't have been so good and more recent, because you've got the game and then 10, 15 years later, whatever, Game Night, it's just they've taken the idea of the game, a game being life.
Right.
Or bigger stakes, maybe, or you don't know. Is it really what you think it is? And I just think that if there hadn't been better versions.
I think they did that with Tag as well. Like, Tag is not to this level, but it is like, you know, a bunch of buddies playing a game of Tag in real life, which I also think is kind of forgotten about, but I liked that movie.
Yeah.
I liked the idea of it, but it didn't it didn't really work.
I thought it was, for not paying for it and watching it on like Netflix or something, I was like, that's fine.
I think the best comedy version we've seen of this so far is Game Day.
Game Night
was, that absolutely was great.
Well, in the genre, right? Comedy, but action. Like this is a comedy thriller, like in the more comedy arena. I definitely think Game Night's the best version of it.
No, I don't disagree about that at all.
That is such a fun and funny movie.
And it's got a great cast.
Yeah.
And the story works.
It does.
Like, absolutely. Even if it wasn't a comedy, like, the story still functions. Like, I love when comedies still have stories that function. Like, Beverly Hills Cop. Mm-hmm. For all, you know, as funny as it is, it still functions as an action movie.
Absolutely.
Because it was, right? Mm-hmm. It was famously supposed to be a Sylvester Stallone movie.
Could you imagine?
And there was no comedy in it.
That's what I'm saying.
So they were like, screw it. Throw Eddie Murphy in there and let him Eddie Murphy up the joint.
Right.
But it still had the bones of an action movie to build upon, right? I love it when comedies
work. Talking about that is, they don't make those anymore. Right? Like,
the action comedy.
Action comedy.
Yeah. They're literally making a Beverly Hills Cop 4 as we speak.
I know, but
I mean, they haven't. I mean, Bad Boys was
But I think of like Tango and Cash or Rush Hour.
I will say, like, you don't get new ones, right? Though even the ones you're listing are established movies.
Right. They're all nostalgia grabs from that time when.
Yeah, they just don't make those.
I mean, Bad Boys was like the last big pre-pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because it came out in January 2020.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it made like all the money in the world. And then the pandemic hit.
Because shut down.
I think it ended up being the highest grossing movie of 2020, wasn't it?
It was huge.
Oh, that's funny.
Because I mean, it made like $150 or $200 million domestic. Like, it was massive because it was great.
That's another one. When we talk about number conventions, like the onset for Tron 3 with a 3 where the O is. And then Bad Boys 4 Life is the third one. They don't use a number. Now there's a Bad Boys 4 coming. You can't use 4 Life. Yeah, right? Perfect.
What a dumb choice.
Bad Boys 3 Life.
Or just Bad Boys 3.
Yeah,
like, I know, just using the four life when it's the third movie.
That's an old thing that nobody does anymore either, where it's just like, oh, this is RoboCop 2.
Well,
there's no subtitle, there's nothing.
The Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 has now been retconned into Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, which is so smart because the whole Part 1 and Part 2 thing is dumb.
And then
And
then Dead Reckoning Part 1 underperformed.
Right.
And so I think now they're scared that if they put out Dead Reckoning Part 2, people are going to be like, I didn't see Part 1.
What's
like,
the Edge of the Spider-Verse? Yeah. Like it's just a subtitle. Yeah. It's not part one.
Yeah.
I'm
glad they didn't, but that's what I mean. It's like later out down the road, I think it plays poorly when you're like, oh, it's part one and part two. It's like, just give them different titles.
Right.
I mean, it's not called Star Wars Part 1.
Well, I think,
it's one story, but there's three different
titles. I think it's one thing if it's a straight up continuation of a story, right? If you're telling a story that's like 4 hours long, right? Let's say The Hateful Eight, mm-hmm. for example, is he releases that in the 4 hour cut, right? Because that's been cut, right? So if you say like, okay, here's The Hateful Eight Part 1, here's The Hateful Eight Part 2, it's all one story,
right?
Like that, I think is fine.
Kill Bill Part 1, Part 2. What do you think about that?
Well, it is Volume 1 and Volume 2. It's just fine because it's all the same story, and like I think the premise of that one, there is. I think it's out there where it's the cut where it's everything's edited together.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever done that.
Oh, I think they may not have, but it's out
someone
there.
Oh,
someone.
Yeah.
Someone has.
But I mean, you can. But that
someone's out there writing Teletubbies / fiction. Yeah,
but Topher Grace is re-editing
but
episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Put out an official.
No, the bloody collective or whatever. The bloody affair.
Which always seemed like such low-hanging fruit. I was surprised that they never did. I thought that was the plan when it came out originally.
I thought so, too.
You'd get part one, and a few months later, or a year later, or whatever, you got part two. And then eventually they would be married, and you would just...
Which you're right, because they did that with Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Where they released those together initially. Mm-hmm. Like, they went through...
Separated those instead of...
Well, but initially they didn't. Like that first
originally in the theatrical release, it was one long thing.
You got it. It was, and
then, but then on home video, that was.
I mean, it's the reverse. They separated those, but they were together.
I have one where they're together.
Yeah,
there's a like Blu-ray out there that
like an official release.
Uh-huh. Okay,
Kill Bill. I thought they did a whole black and white one that it was both the movies together for some reason.
I don't know, but
I don't remember.
You'd think that. I mean, that, to me, I would.
I think we've gone way off the rails.
That's just fine. I mean,
I'm just trying to backtrack to how we got there because we're talking about action comedies, Bad Boys.
That's how Real Spoilers works, baby.
I know.
But yeah, I would definitely at this point, if he's saying he's got one more left in him, or you know whatever that is, whatever that looks like, a TV show or whatever that is,
he's working on it. It's about a film critic. Oddly enough,
that'd be interesting.
That's, it is his last movie is about a film critic.
Is it a movie or is it a TV show?
I think it's a movie.
Okay,
it's his last film. He said that I think he might do TV later, but last film is this one about a film critic. Yeah.
All right, let's go.
I'm interested. I mean, he's such a film guy. This is so interesting that he's such like a film person's director.
Did you read that
loves
book?
Film.
Did you read? His
I didn't
book?
Read the book. No.
Boy, oh boy.
The Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Nope. The other one.
The other one.
Yeah, it's hard to read because I'm constantly like, okay, well now I need to go watch that movie. I stop and I go watch, you know.
So to make his last feature film, his supposed, you know, who knows, never say never, but his last feature film to be about a film critic. I mean, what an interesting.
He does
kind of
seem like the dude where he's just like, yeah, I got one left, and I'm not saying that he's not a creative guy, but I do feel like if he's got one creative idea left, why force it? You know, like, I'll knock that out.
I think that's the thing about artists, though, right? It's like, why force anything? I mean, if he doesn't need the money, he's got the fame, he's got the money. If something comes along, do it. Great. If it doesn't, don't be like, I got to make the next one. Like, he doesn't need to.
I just can't believe that as much as he loves movies, that he's so young to just be like, I'm done now.
Yeah. He might change, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, it happened. I mean, Billy Joel was like, I'm done writing pop songs.
That's true.
And he never wrote another one.
Wow.
Like, I mean,
and
it's been
just doing.
It's been 30 years.
Is that? Hey, Sting's calling it a day. Yeah, in March.
Isn't he the, not,
the
singer?
We're talking about the singer, not the wrestler.
You thought I was talking about Billy Joel and the wrestler Sting?
That's what I was like.
What
connection. He is calling it a career. Yeah. You're right.
The Crow.
Hey, it's stuck around. I mean, 1997. That's how long that gimmick has been going.
You know what? Watching those after Iron Claw, when I went down the rabbit hole of all the documentaries,
yeah.
I have never seen Sting out of makeup until this last month.
It weirds you out, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've never seen him out of the makeup.
He always wears sunglasses.
That's what he looks like. Okay,
it's very strange.
I just know. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, he.
So the last. So the ninjas come up and go, "Hey, it's you're about to win. You know, it's almost over, but we've got to make this more exciting. So you're gonna have to go find a limo. You're gonna have to leave the homeless camp and find a limo to win the game.
Right.
And so he ends up leaving. There's a big chase. There's finally, like, they saved it all to the end. The only action. I mean, the other stuff is little teases here and there, but the ending is really the only action in the movie. Being chased by a samurai and a cowboy.
And even that's just him running through a warehouse.
I mean, yeah, it's not that exciting, but it's something where you're like, okay, I would have liked to have seen a little more of this. And so he runs away from people and he jumps over a gate and he finds the limo and gets in it. And that's when Andy Samberg says, hey, you can be safe or you can continue playing the game and get your money.
Right.
And the limo drops him off. Isn't it right at the warehouse?
Back at the warehouse where he started. Yeah.
Okay. And then that's where, you know, yeah, you see the samurai and the cowboy and all these people that are, I think Ellen, like all the characters end up at the end of the
thing. And they're basically like, congratulations, like you did it. And
tell you what, he must really be sick of his life, because in the very beginning of the movie, when he goes into that creepy warehouse, I'm like, nope, I would never do that. I'm like, you have to really not care, because I mean, would you walk into a dilapidated warehouse where any killer
depends if they're mysterious? Like, here's $1 million.
Okay, well, anyone could say that. Well, good Lord,
also,
I have candy for you, you know?
I also hate the ending of the movie in terms of then he doesn't really win $1 million. They're like, it's this Greenlandic currency.
No,
like,
I don't think so. This was confusing to me too, because I thought it was a scam. I don't think so. I think it's just funny because they're paying him over like 10 years and they give it to him in their weird currency, but I do think he gets $1 million. I think at the end they explained that it's going to take 15 years
he gets
to pay
like
out.
He gets like $4,000 a month.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Which I thought was...
But he also gets the fun, like the comedy of it. Oh, and it's in their weird currency.
Oh, I thought it was like a currency. Because he even says, I don't know how the currency conversion works. And so I was like, did not really get $1 million after all that? Like
That would...
But it's the lessons he learned along the way.
That's kind of what they're saying, is that he has, you know, now he has like the.
But I do think he's going to get it, because I thought that too. And then later on, he's like, yeah, but I'm not going to get it for 15 years.
Right.
Which kind of made it like, okay, they are, because that would have sucked if it was like, I would not have liked that either. But the whole point is supposed to be like, oh, well, I got back, like I was around my family and I was around people and I made new friends and now possibly a new love interest. And all that. Which I mean, again, like, in these other better movies, they do the same thing. It's so like, oh, now I'm a better person at the end.
And that is what they do here. Yeah. And he, you know, we find out that he got his tooth fixed.
Oh, but I do like that with the family. He's sitting there. He's like, I told you. And you're like, do they really believe him or not? And then sitting at the very end, sitting next to him is Wayne Brady. Because earlier he sounded crazy when he made up something and said Wayne Brady was going to be.
Well, because I think Christopher Lloyd says Wayne Brady showed up
at
my house.
That's what it was.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
And then this airplane.
And then when he's like, I met Dad, and Wayne Brady he told him to go whatever. And they're like, Wayne Brady?
Right.
And then later they got him. That was funny.
Yeah, that is pretty. So, yeah, and that's how it wraps up is.
Because I thought they still weren't going to believe him in the end.
But
the Wayne
Which
Brady,
would make sense.
But the Wayne Brady thing was to show you that, oh,
they did believe him. We're wrapping it. You know, he gets the money. He gets his tooth fixed. Mm. And he moves out of his mom's house. He has his own apartment.
I like that they mentioned it, because clearly they're like, whenever they filmed that, they weren't doing the tooth thing. And they're like, I'm glad you got your tooth fixed.
But I do like that she goes, for comedic purposes, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like when the sister's talking about his missing tooth. He's back at Anna Kendrick's house. And he's about to knock, and he has the same start stop that he had with his ex-girlfriend, where he's like, he's gonna knock on the door, he doesn't knock on the door, and then he has a moment where he's like, what am I doing? And he goes to knock on the door, and that's how it ends. I do wish that this had been in theaters, only because I think it would have found an audience and it would have given credence to, or shown Hollywood that, yeah, you can make a $15 million, $10 million comedy and it's gonna find the right people.
I don't know that this one would have.
But then I think at the same time is that this would have, you know, in the 80s and 90s, during the boom of home video stores, there are plenty of movies that bombed at the theaters that found a second life. Anchorman is a great example, mm-hmm. of a movie that tanked at the theater, but Mallrats.
Comedies.
Tanked at a theater.
Comedies are famous for, like, the...
Finding that second life on yeah. VHS or home video.
Office Space
yeah. is a great example.
Because people don't know what to, like, especially with people that aren't, like, big star names, you know?
Right.
They're like, I don't know what this is, and they know, and then people find it, and they just rant about it, and here's the tape.
And that's what streaming services are yeah. now, right? Like, especially when they're looking for new content.
Yeah.
I think...
Except the problem is now is there's so much content.
Many. Right.
It's so hard for something to break out.
To break out, yeah.
You know? Especially, like, if it comes and goes. I know I'm guilty of this. If I'm like, oh, that looks interesting, and then I look at the date, and I'm like, oh, 2019, and I've never heard of it, it's probably trash, and I don't even sure. try.
I think going to streaming was the right call. I think whatever they sold the movie for is probably a better deal. I think that this would have just been so lost if it came out in the yeah. theater. Oh. Unfortunately, Jake Johnson, as great as he is not a ticket seller.
He can't open a movie.
I don't think so. And I mean, Anna Kendrick really hasn't done anything like to open a movie in a long time.
No, she just kind of does her own thing,
which is fine. But I just mean,
yeah,
it's
a shame. I don't know why Anna Kendrick isn't a bigger star. Yeah,
I agree.
Like,
I agree.
It's by choice, you know. Yeah. Maybe she just likes doing.
What's I mean, that's the thing is, like, you got to think she made. I'm sure she made a boatload of money on those Twilight movies. First.
Pitch Perfect.
But Pitch Perfect was as well.
She was a tiny character in Twilight.
I don't think she made anything off
you
Twilight.
You don't think so?
She was nobody.
She was
She was a minor character in those movies. She was nobody when she signed on.
Was she and Scott Pilgrim? Is she Scott's sister?
Yeah, I think she was.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she blows up while they're making, or at least levels up while they're making Twilight. And then that's why she's not in the last couple.
Okay.
Is because she was like, well, I can make more over here. And they didn't lock her into a long-term deal, is my guess.
That
because they were like, you're playing an ancillary character, and we're not gonna give you the money to lock you up.
Right.
And then she became... You know,
Anna Kendrick,
a pretty big name, yeah. and then she was just like, I'm going to go do these other things.
But I bet you Pitch Perfect 2 and Pitch Perfect 3 is where she made the money.
That's probably true.
Yes, yeah, I would agree with that.
I bet you 1 was the test, and then when that exploded, it was a lot of money to get her back.
Because I remember going to see Pitch Perfect 1 and being like, we already have Glee. What are we doing here? Like, because it was at the height of Glee, and like, why do I need a movie version of Glee with none of the cast
members. Did they do the cup song?
Did Glee do the cup song? I don't know. They probably stole it eventually.
Yeah.
But
what else do you remember from Pitch Perfect? That cup thing that she did.
Oh, I remember
and she did it on like late night shows and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Throwing up on stage.
That's
and
good.
Like Pitch Perfect. I remember leaving Pitch Perfect and being like, oh my God, that was great.
Yeah.
I did not expect
that's a good movie.
Yeah.
I just think that cup song that she sang was like, one of the more memorable.
Oh, for sure.
It
got a music video.
Yeah. I mean,
it became a legit hit single.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's, she was in Up in the Air, wasn't she?
That was her, I think that was her kind of breakout role. Because I noticed her, she was in a movie called, I think, Rocket Science.
Okay.
And it was about this kid who, I think, stutters. It was definitely like wanted to be like a Wes Anderson kind of movie. Mm. It had a very much of a Rushmore vibe, but it's about this kid.
Bottle Rocket Weird Science.
Yeah. It's about this kid who has a stutter and like he gets kind of forced to join the debate team.
Okay.
And she's like the captain of the debate team. And it's supposed to be his movie. And I don't even know why I watched it. It was just on cable one day.
She stole it.
And she has stole this movie. and she was like, this was, I think, right before Twilight came out or right. And I had seen Twilight, but she was not memorable to me in Twilight.
Right.
But I remember seeing this movie and being like, who the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this girl is stealing this movie. And it's funny because the character she plays is very similar to how she the performance in Up in the Air. She's very button up and like, this is the way things are going to be. But she's like a high school kid.
Sure.
And it's the movie's worth it just for her performance. But
she was in The Accountant with Ben Affleck where he's got
I forgot that.
Super autism.
Yeah.
There's a sequel's coming out.
Yeah, they're making another one.
No, they are not.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's
a popular movie. It was actually kind of popular in theaters, and then on streaming, it really blew up.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was like a most watched.
That's one of those ones where it's like, we're going to use autism as a superpower.
That was a good little movie.
Until you realize that they're using autism as a superpower.
Well, but I mean, a lot of
people. They did it in Rain Man.
That's before we knew anything about autism.
But I don't think.
They did it in The Predator, Predator 2 as well. Not The Predator 2, like The Predator as well.
I don't think it was done in a bad way, though, or anything. I mean,
I don't know. I just think that, well, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't remember any outrage over it or anything.
I don't think so. I remember there being outrage over the kid in, who's the Jacob Tremblay in The Predator.
Yeah.
Where they were just like, oh, he can, because he's autistic, he can figure out how to use alien technology right away. Okay. Yeah. I think it's worth a watch. It's on Hulu. It's free.
If you have Hulu, free with ads.
I pay for the no ads.
Same. I'm bougie.
Yeah, I was like, I forgot that I did that, and I was watching Hell's Kitchen, and I was like, where are the ads? Oh, yeah. I don't have to watch ads.
If you watch a lot of TV, it's worth the $5, because in TV shows, 22-minute shows, they're going to give you 4 commercial breaks one right before the credits to trick you, and then you come back to credits, and you're like, are you kidding me? I just waited 2.5 minutes
you got me,
for
Hulu.
Credits. I hate when they do the one before credits.
That's pretty funny. But I think if you like Jake Johnson, I think you'll like I agree.
It's not awful. It's not awful. It's just a waste of premise.
I had a lot
premise.
Of fun with it. I think he's fun.
It's not a bad movie. It's like a 5 out of 10 movie. That's the thing to me.
I wouldn't go that low.
It's not low. It's average. It's literally in the middle.
It's like talking to my kid. Well, a C is average, Dad. I was like, yeah, I know it's average. Also, you're not average. Do better.
But that's what I would say to Jake Johnson.
I don't agree with. Oh, I'm only saying I don't agree with that because while someone has worked in Hollywood for as long as he has, he hasn't directed anything, right? And to me, this is like, okay, you're getting your feet wet. Like, you're seeing if this is something you want to do. So I'm willing to give, like, this is your first shot.
Yeah.
Now, if something comes out again, or if he gets, like, 2 more under his belt, and it's like, you're doing the same thing, like, improving.
I would give him another shot. I never would say, like, oh, you should maybe stick to acting, buddy. Like, it's not a bad movie. It's a wasted premise. Like Tom said, it's the thing. I just wish he picked a different movie.
Yeah, ultimately, the direction isn't the problem. It's the writing.
Sure.
But unfortunately, he did both.
He wrote as well.
I think he picked to say something about loneliness and isolation and, you know, getting out there and whatever. I think he just unfortunately chose a, you know, window dressing for it that just he was not able to pull off. And I wish that he told the story through a different prism, because it has good things to say. It's interesting. Like, the premise is interesting, but I just don't think he pulls it off, unfortunately. And I like him. He's charismatic in it. Anna Kendrick's good. Like, there's good components of it for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21, and on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon at Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Christine's real name is Claire.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.